Good evening. Welcome to the Cabinet meeting of Stafford Borough Council on Thursday, the 9th of February 2023. I am your Chair, Deputy Leader Jeremy Kirk. Let's work through the agenda this evening, and I know there's a lot of papers, but let's take that stage by stage. So in terms of the agenda, the minutes of the Cabinet meeting, the last Cabinet meeting on the 19th of January, they've been circulated, they've been published. Are we happy to accept those as a true record of this meeting?
Yes.
I think that's unanimous. I will sign those. So, apologies. I cannot see the Council Leader, Patrick Farrington, so and he has sent his apologies, and we have the rest of the Cabinet here, so just Patrick. Question time, nil. Item number four, proposals of the Cabinet members. So, Mike, good evening. We're with you.
Good evening, Chairman. First of all, I have an apology. The first item is included in error. As you can see, we shouldn't be considering the accounts from 2019-20. It was included as a clerical error. The clerical people are looking into it, and we'll find out why it appeared. It shouldn't be there at all.
Thank you.
The next item, Chairman, is the local council tax reduction scheme. And you will recall that this had some very good publicity when it was first announced. And since then, we've done some consultation. And the consultation was varied. We have some about 100 people who took part in the consultation. There is, of course, a balance to achieve between the cost of this increased support versus the need to support residents or vulnerable residents, and then a decision as to where to target that support. And the factors that were considered in deciding the changes that are proposed are largely those that are reflected in the consultation process. Clearly, the current cost of living problems are not of the council's making, and we're limited to the extent that we can help. But we believe that the proposal achieves the right balance by giving meaningful support to some of the poorest residents that do have to pay council tax. Some of those who were not happy with the proposal felt that they may be asked to pay more council tax to compensate. However, the cost to the taxpayer is more than compensated for by the positive increases to the council tax base, which, as we know, increases year on year due to the additional new homes. So this is only a temporary one-year scheme, and this change will enable the officers to have regard for the up-to-date living costs next year. And if consideration of further support is thought to be necessary, then the constructive comments made by those responding to the consultation will be taken into account. And propose the report as set out, Jeremy.
Thank you. So seconded by Jonathan Price. And does anyone have any contributions? So we have the proposal from Mike in front of us relating to the council tax reduction scheme as proposed and seconded. Are we in favour?
Aye.
That's unanimous. Thank you, Mike. We're still with you.
Yes, this is the updated Treasury Management Report on the Trans Lines at the start of the page. Thank you. This report is a report which we receive every year. It's a statutory requirement that we have this these policies in place. It's an extensive technical report and reflects our strategy should we need to borrow. It also gives advice on investment. And the strategy has not changed from when it was first adopted in 2018, although it is due for review next March, March 2024. The report is seeking approval for setting the prudential and treasury indicators for 22-23 for borrowing and investment, which will ensure that the capital investment plans of the council are affordable, prudent and sustainable. It also sets the minimum revenue provision policy, and that is how residual capital expenditure is charged to revenue over time. As you know, due to the good financial management of the council, which has invested in numerous capital projects over the years, for example the Stone Leisure Centre, Victoria Park and the Western Access Road, to name some, but as yet has not had the need to borrow. And as I said when we discussed the budget last month, we should not need to borrow for the major projects that are due on stream, for example Westbridge Park and the future High Street funding projects. However, where there is a valid business case and it's prudent, sustainable and affordable and delivers the council's economic and other priorities, then borrowing may be authorised within the boundaries as contained in the report, and that's what the report's all about, setting the boundaries. There is, however, one new prudential indicator for this year, for 23-24, called the liability benchmark, which is about loans and debt, but as just stated, because the council is debt-free over the forecast period, which is 3 years, the benchmark for us is negative. You will probably recognise that the later parts of the report are a commentary and opinions of our consultants and the SIPA views about the UK economy in general. And the final appendix spells out the role of the 151 officer in respect of the management of the council's finances. The 151 officer is one of three officers that all councils must employ, and I'd like to place on record my thanks to our new officer, Chris Forrester, for this report, which is laid out somewhat differently than its predecessor, but still remains readable to the layman. I move the report, Chairman.
Thank you. Seconded?
Yeah, I can set that up.
Thank you. Any comments from Cabinet? I think, certainly from my perspective, there aren't many councils in the country who have no need to borrow to deliver capital projects in the way that this council has done so. I think this demonstrates, and the peer review, which we often come back to, specifically made sure they referenced the council was a well-run authority. And I think this is backed up with the quality and standard of information within this report. And also demonstrates it's not just a well-written report, but the council delivers its services in an appropriate way. When you look at other councils around the country, and it's not just councils in the South East, but there's a whole range of them which have financial problems, where they've over-leveraged themselves hoping to create an income stream. I think it demonstrates the poorness of some of those strategies versus actually doing the knitting and making sure that we spend what we have for the benefit of our taxpayers. And I think this report lays it out. I think the other thing is that in days of low interest rates, and we've spent the last 10 years in a period of low interest rates, when interest suddenly starts to rise, actually optimising the position with that is really important, because there is an opportunity with the right funds to actually continue to support our residents in investing in infrastructure and in things that are relevant and important to those in our community. Shall we? Do you want to say anything?
Well, I agree with you with everything you say. I mean, increases in interest rates were already reported in the budget last month, and that has helped us to deliver a budget where there's no need to borrow. And what you said about other councils is perfectly true. I get updates from SIPA on a regular basis, and it highlights many councils who are having problems entering into commercial ventures, and other councils who are having to close things down like Liverpool. But it wasn't just a peer review, our auditors have actually said the same words, that this is a well-run council.
And we've done that whilst keeping council tax at record lows?
Yes.
Brilliant. Okay. Are we in agreement with accepting this report?
Yes.
Okay, we're unanimous. Let's move on to item 4B, which is within the committee's portfolio. This relates to antisocial behaviour, which is a statutory role Borough Council shares with the police as part of the Antisocial Behaviour, Crime and Policing Act back in 2014. And I think what it does is, for many committees, antisocial behaviour is something that is detrimental and negative for not just individuals, but swathes of a community. And at the same stage, it can affect both physical as well as mental health and people's well-being. It also makes people's lives more broadly, because housing is a key contributor to how people feel. It can undermine how people feel about their area and the borough as a whole. And obviously part of that is about trying to ensure that we have investment, continued investment within the borough area. I think what this report does is demonstrates with the 108 cases that the Borough Council worked on last year, the seriousness within which the council takes antisocial behaviour. But not only does it work with the police to deliver a response and support to our communities, it works with a number of third parties. Many of them will be familiar third party voluntary sector organisation names that everyone around the table will be aware of, people like YouthNet, people who, funny enough, were interestingly an award winner at last year's Community Awards. Mm-hmm. The Right Stuff Boxing Club, who have regularly been award winners, and were recently awarded Her Late Majesty the Queen's Queen's Award for Voluntary Service, and Resolve, based in Stone, which have regularly done work with the council to try and resolve drug and alcohol and addiction issues. But this work does demonstrate, and there is a case study within that, the importance of the work that the Borough Council does with many partners. Clearly, we're thankful to the partners for the work that they do alongside us to resolve the levels of antisocial behaviour. And as I say, I present this report on our annual work on antisocial behaviour for Cabinet to review. Carolyn.
Thank you, Deputy Leader. This report is a very good report, actually, and I just want to echo YouthNet's support on the ground is brilliant. But I wanted to thank Tracy Redpath and her team for the new cameras that have gone up in the area, which are seeing brilliant results already, saving somebody's life last week who was... I won't go into details, but something to do with the river, where the camera can zoom straight in now and follow people around the park. We've seen a couple of cases of criminal damage of late, and both have been prosecuted. It's just an excellent extra feature, making myself feel very safe in the parks, and I'm sure once it gets out into the public domain how brilliant these cameras are, so will everybody else. So thank you very much for all the work you've done on this, Tracy, along with the police, of course, but excellent bit of work, excellent.
I think you make a fundamentally decent point, that we should lay on record our thanks to Tracy and her team over a long period of time. Over a long period of time in a pivotal role for many in our communities and creating those partnerships so that we have the foundation to deliver what we've done. Thank you for making that point. And I'd just like to make one other point, if I may, which is, I think the cameras are a really good way of giving an air of confidence to anyone in our community, everyone in our community, to be able to go out and enjoy what is great about our communities in safety. And I think when you look at the work we've done in terms of the street pastors and in terms of the nighttime economy, the cameras do offer that to offer that piece of security. Are we in favour of supporting the report?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Thank you. That brings us on to item number 4B, which relates to the sale of North Walls. That is again with me. So the North Walls properties are properties that weren't transferred when we transferred the housing stock back in 2006 to Stafford Rural Homes. They were originally used as offices, converted into offices. Over time, because they're a row of 10 terrace houses, they have broadly come to a point of not being fit for purpose. We've looked over the years at a number of different options to reuse them and repurpose them, both for affordable housing as well as for supported housing. The cost of refurbishing those properties is disproportionate to the value, and whilst we've looked over the last 5 years at a number of different alternatives, we have not been able to find something that actually works with the properties. We have extensively looked at reusing the properties, and that is just not an option that would offer the taxpayer in Stafford value for money. Nor are there sufficient government grants to cover the cost of refurbishing and bringing those properties up to a suitable standard. And after 5 years of looking at various different options, the recommendation is that we look to sell the properties on the open market.
Agreed.
Okay, thank you.
Support that.
Okay, are we all in support?
Yep.
Yeah, I support. I mean, we're spending a lot of money on paragraph 5.2 on the empty rates for the building. Over the period it's been empty, it's 136,000. I would say, I mean, I when it was voluntary offices, I did work in there, and one of the organisations that rented some place, and it's just, you know, you walk from one house to the other upstairs, if it's just linking it, you just can't pull it back into anything worthwhile.
I mean, there were good houses in the day, but they're not fit for modern purpose, and as I said, we've looked at it extensively. I think the best thing for us to do is to recycle money back into housing, but in something that is good value for money for the taxpayer. Are we in favour?
Yep.
Mark?
Yeah.
Okay. Unanimous. Let's move on to the next item on the agenda, which is with you, Francis, I believe.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Deputy Leader. There's been an airing of this because I gave some deep explanation of the funding streams that we are attracting in this borough at council. This is a specific fund that is the Shared Prosperity Fund, and it's a government grant that. The report sets it out in detail, so I'm not going to add anything to that, except to say that it's exciting to see so many things planned, so many things starting up and ongoing in the borough. You can see a list that we've drawn up, a list of the ways that we're going to assist projects to use this money, and I'm very confident that this is going to support a variety of different business sectors across the borough. Not least the rural and visitor economy sectors, which are perhaps not so well recognised as being incredibly important to Stafford Borough. It will support all sorts of new and growing businesses of all sorts, and I thoroughly recommend it. The gist of the actual proposal is that we accept the allocation of nearly £5 million, why wouldn't we, including an additional £20,000 of funding to support the preparatory work, and I commend it.
Thank you, Francis. We'll be with Carolyn first.
Thank you, Francis, for bringing this, when most of it's been spent on my portfolio. I can't thank you enough. Especially, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, being a trustee of the History Centre, it's exciting to see money going into there, of which I have to thank Mithra and her team for all their hard work they're doing to bring the History Centre to fruition. But the Scout Building, the Crown Wharf, solar panels on the roof of the Leisure Centre at Stone. There's so many great projects in here that will benefit the people in Stafford. Just so excited about so many things. So thank you and the team for all the hard work in getting that money into our town. I can't wait for the next 3 years of projects.
Thank you, Mark.
Yes. In particular, obviously, you'd expect me to mention it, Appendix 4, the Rural England Prosperity Fund. This is part of the report, isn't it? And this figure of £500,000, which is specifically meant to go to the rural areas, is really good news. Stafford's borough is, I think, somewhere in the region of 65% rural, and it's nice to know that the rural environment's actually being acknowledged. To the tune, which is important, support for rural businesses is £360,000, and support for supporting rural communities, which again is really important, £120,000. So the work that Francis and the team have done has brought in an extra, effectively, £500,000 to go into the rural areas. And I, for one, appreciate it, and I'm sure a lot of rural businesses as we go forward, and as Francis said, there are some incredibly good businesses in Stafford Borough, that this is can only be welcomed, and it's a good news story. And I suppose ultimately we thank the central government for passing it on.
Thank you, Mark. Anyone else? I'll bring Francis back in then.
I'd just like to say, one of the reasons I push so hard for this rural fund, as well as the rest, is that I don't think we realise what a very rural community we have and how strong our rural enterprises are. They, I think in total they amount to about a third of the businesses in the borough. And even more than that, I don't think we understood for a long time how very important our tourist economy is, both in terms of business and leisure tourism, to this borough. We are actually, the second biggest tourist economy in the county, which may surprise many people. It's extremely important, and it's a very big employer with numbers of very well-paid jobs.
Thank you, Francis. I think what it does demonstrate really clearly is the success of this borough council in bringing in grant funding to support activities and to support communities. I think the other thing it does is it's cross-cutting across all our key priorities, as well as all of our communities.
Thank you.
I think that's great. How are we in favour of receiving this report?
Absolutely.
We are. Thank you. I think moving on to other good news, Jonathan, we're with you.
Thank you, Deputy Leader. Yeah, this is a piece of work. As you're aware, Stafford Borough Council committed to a climate change agenda back in 2019. And as a Conservative-led authority, it's something that we've taken very, very seriously. The work that we do and the work that we have within our corporate business plan has that green thread around climate change with everything we do. Everything that we do with our partners. So I was very, very pleased to have this report come forward. So the report provides an update to members regarding the results of the Sustainability West Midlands Local Authority Sustainability Benchmark for 2022. As I have mentioned, implementing the Council's climate change and green recovery objectives is one of our main objectives, objective three in our corporate business plan. The progress which has been made against these objectives are reported in a quarterly performance update. The Council also engages in an annual performance update with external organisations Sustainability West Midlands. The Local Authority Benchmark Report indicates a series of milestones that fall within the jurisdiction of all local authorities, which would contribute to a sustainable future in the West Midlands. councils are asked to provide an update on their progress against each milestone. The results are then consolidated, giving each local authority an overall sustainability score and a score against each item theme. Local authorities are then ranked, enabling the identification of which authorities are acting as sustainable leaders across the region. Of the 21 authorities, Stafford Borough were ranked in the top 5 of 4 of these main themes, which are resource efficiency, social quality and health, sustainable energy use and adapting to climate change. And I do want to mention our climate change adaptation strategy, where we've ranked first. The work that's been done here and the work around our climate adaptation strategy are a testament to the work that our officers have done, and I want to make a special mention to Tracy Redpath, Dr. Tracy Redpath, and to Eleanor Warren, who behind the scenes does a huge amount of work on behalf of this authority to get us where we need to be with climate change. So overall, the council continues to make good progress towards contributing to a sustainable future. We've now raised ourselves to third place overall in the West Midlands, meaning that this council is now a recognised leader in this region, and that's something I'm very proud of. I'm extremely proud of the work and the progress that we are making as a Conservative led authority. Thank you.
Thank you. Really good reading and demonstrates the position we've taken and the work that you've done as the lead in this area alongside Tracy and her team. Anyone want to comment on that?
Could I just ask a question?
Please.
It's a very good report, as Jonathan says, and we've come third in most cases, but the one area where we've not done so well is carbon emissions, where we're 10th out of 20. Is that because the M6 runs through our borough?
I was under the impression that carbon emissions were ultimately the emissions from us as a local authority and with our partners, and I think that some of that will be down to our bin fleet. In fact, I think the majority of that carbon output will be down to our bin fleet. Okay. Well, we are working with the area to look at ways where we can reduce our carbon footprint.
I think we make a really good point. This is work in progress, but we're already a top of three authority within the West Midlands area. It is a really easy report to read, and I think it demonstrates very clearly the seriousness of this council takes climate change. Thank you.
I could just add as well, for anybody that's listening, or particularly if it's reported, that people should read our climate change adaptation strategy, and particularly they should read our climate change strategy overall as well, and actually see that we have demonstrated that we are doing that work.
Mark?
Yeah, just to reassure Cabinet that we as a borough council are working with Veolia, who are our partners, to look at ways of reducing the carbon output from the vehicles. One of the things we're looking at, it's fairly solid technology now, is using waste oil as a mix and waste chip fat, so that in the future we might be able to run our fleet with a percentage of oils that will be presumably carbon neutral.
Always great that we don't just sit back and take things as they are. We look to continue to innovate. Thank you. Are we happy to receive this report?
Yep.
Thank you. At that stage, at 7:01, that brings to a close this evening's Cabinet meeting. Thank you for those attending in the galleries. Good evening.